ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट नंबर 45 एंड 46। सो विल रीड टेक्स्ट 45, देन आई विल रीड द ट्रांसलेशन फॉर टेक्स्ट 46 एंड फॉर त्रैगुण्य विषया वेदा नैस्तरैगुण्यो भवार्जुन निर्द्वन्द्वो नित्यसत्त्वस्थो निर्योगक्षेम आत्मवान्। द वेदस डील मेनली विद द सब्जेक्ट ऑफ थ्री मोड्स ऑफ मटेरियल नेचर। ओ अर्जुन, बिकम ट्रांसेंडेंटल टू दिस थ्री मोड्स, बी फ्री फ्रॉम ऑल ड्युअलिटीज एंड फ्रॉम ऑल एंजाइटीज फॉर गेन एंड सेफ्टी and be established in self. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Purport: all material activities involve actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. They are meant for fruitive results which cause bondage in the material world. The Vedas deal mostly with the fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to a position on the transcendental plane. Arjuna, as a student and friend of Lord Krishna, is advised to raise himself to the transcendental position of Vedanta philosophy, where in the beginning there is Brahma Jigyasa, or the question on the supreme transcendence. All the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom advising how to live and get rid of the material entanglement. When the activities for sense gratification, namely Karma Kanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of Upanishads, which are part of different Vedas, as the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata. The Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of dualities such as happiness and distress, or cold and warmth, and by tolerating such dualities become free from the anxieties regarding gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. Translation and purport to text number 46. All purposes served by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purpose of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. Purport: the rituals and sacrifices mentioned in the Karma Kanda division of the Vedic literature are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization, and the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Lord Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's eternal relationship with Him. The relationship of the living entities with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The living entities are part and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 333.7 as follows: Aho bato sva pachota gariyani yajji vagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste जुहुवु शश्नुर आर्य ब्रह्मणा चूर्णाम गृणन्ति यते। ओ माय लॉर्ड, अ पर्सन हु इज चैंटिंग योर होली नेम, ऑल्दो बॉर्न ऑफ अ लो फैमिली लाइक दैट ऑफ चंडाल डॉग ईटर, इज सिचुएटेड ऑन द हाईएस्ट प्लेटफॉर्म ऑफ सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन। सच अ पर्सन मस्ट हैव परफॉर्म्ड ऑल काइंड्स ऑफ पेनेंसेस एंड सैक्रिफाइसेस अकॉर्डिंग टू द वैदिक रिचुअल्स एंड स्टडीड द वैदिक लिटरेचर्स मेनी मेनी टाइम्स आफ्टर टेकिंग हिज बाथ इन ऑल द होली प्लेसेस ऑफ पिलग्रिमेज। Such a person is considered to be the best of the Aryan family. So one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals, nor is it possible to study all the Vedanta and the Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge, and resources to execute the purpose of the Vedas. This is hardly possible in this age. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord as recommended by Sri Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by the great Vedic scholar Prakashananda Saraswati why he, the Lord, was chanting holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him to be a great fool and thus asked him to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. He did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of the Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in the Vedic wisdom, and the author and the knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great souls who take pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. This is the ultimate purpose of all the Vedic mysticism. The Vedas deal mainly with the subject of the three modes of material nature. O Arjuna, become transcendental to these three modes. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. All purposes served by the small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purpose of Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. So in this second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, initially Krishna tried to convince Arjuna to fight. That is the whole purpose for which he is speaking this entire chapter, or throughout this whole discussion, is just to get Arjuna to that one point of getting him ready to fight. That is the whole purpose. So the first step which Krishna took to convince Arjuna is to raise himself from the bodily platform, to convince him that actually he is not this body, he is a soul, spirit soul, part, and even the people who are standing against him for fighting and whom he is not ready to kill, they are also not these bodies, they are also spirit souls. And he goes on to explain the 20 shlokas. He's just explaining the nature of the soul. And Krishna sees that he is not even ready, not agreeing completely. So then Krishna takes another step to convince Arjuna. And what is that step? A step which proves or establishes that fighting, or his not fighting, is also a fruitative activity. Whether he fights or either he does not fight, is a fruitative activity. And as long as one is engaged in fruitative activities, he is bound to this material world. And what is this fruitative activity? Any material activity or any activity which is done to gain material fruit, material benediction, that is a fruitive activity. So Arjuna was not ready to kill his grandfather, his cousins, his guru. Why? Because he was thinking that if I kill them, then they will be gone, and how will I enjoy without them? And on the contrary, he is ready to go and beg outside. So his begging and not killing is not serving the ultimate purpose which Krishna wants. The ultimate purpose or ultimate activity of every individual is to follow what Krishna wants. And any activity which is done against the desire of Krishna is, even though it may appear very religious, it's simply sense gratification. Because that activity is based on what I like. And when the point comes what I like and what I want to do, then it's a material sense gratification activity. But when we do something what Krishna likes, whether I may like it or I may not like it, but if Krishna is liking it and if I am doing it, then that same activity becomes a spiritual activity. And then when somebody performs such a spiritual activity, he is not bound by the reactions of those activity. Why? Because he is acting under the direction, under the supervision, under the guidance of the Supreme Lord, who has the potency, who has the ability to free you from all sinful reactions. And that is what Krishna ends this whole Bhagavad Gita with. If one takes shelter of him, acts according to him, then there is no chance for anyone to get attached to this material world. And that is the whole purpose of life. But Arjuna was not realizing this. Arjuna was acting just like an ordinary man. Actually, he is a self-realized soul. But just to teach us the lesson, or acting on our behalf, as our playing our role, he's trying to not follow the instructions and want to do things which he wants, which he likes, or which he does not, or does not want to think, do things which he does not like. And that Krishna does not like it. So he uses a second step of actions or activities which are going to give fruitative results. And Krishna does not want Arjuna to engage in that, such activities, which is going to bind him in this material world. And we see in our day-to-day life also, for practically everyone, any activity which we do in our life, what is the motivation factor for that? The first motivation factor for that is, what am I going to gain out of it? Or how much am I going to lose out of it? For once this funda, this basic thing is cleared, that what is my gain or how much is my loss, then we think of whether doing this activity or not. We never think of doing that, whatever be the result, let me do this activity. Our calculation does not go like this. Our calculation is, how much am I going to benefit out of it? And what is the risk factor involved in it? And then we desire whether to do it or not to do it. That is the basic principle of every activity in this material world. And when we are doing certain activity, many times we don't get it, but sometimes when we get things, what we desire, we become so happy. Why? Because we have become victorious. We have gained so many things. But behind that every victory and behind that every loss, there is one subtle thing which is not seen. We may become happy when we gain things, or we may become morose when we lose something. But behind that happiness and behind that lamentation is one very important factor which is very unable, which is, cannot be seen, which is very cheating. And what is that? That is the reaction, the karmic reaction which follows behind it. And in order to enjoy that result, that fruit of gain or fruit of victory, we have to again come here in this material world, whether to suffer or whether to enjoy. We have to take birth. And when we take birth, along with that, again, one thing more follows. Birth, disease, old age, and death. So this vicious cycle goes on. We don't see that thing.
Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath, Jai Nitai Gaur Chandra Girdhari Gopal.
So we don't see this thing, that what is going to bind us, what is keeping us here. And any common man is just thinking about this temporary benefit, what I am going to get it. Arjuna is also thinking the same way. I am going to kill my grandfather, I am going to kill my teacher, I am going to kill my cousins, and what I am going to gain out of it? A territory. Happiness. But I don't want such happiness. I don't want happiness which is based, which is tainted with the blood of my relatives. I don't want such a thing. But he's not thinking that whether he fights or whether he does not fight. The reaction is there. And in this verse, Krishna is trying to convince that don't be behind this. Don't go behind your own thoughts. Just try to do what I want to say, what I want. And then he's telling that the whole purpose of your thought, your line of action of not fighting is based on what? Is based on your own sense gratification, which is based on the influence of the material energy. And this is the first time where Krishna is speaking about the three modes of material nature. Till now he has never spoken. He has introduced this subject matter here in this verse. And we see all our activities in future verses, we'll see the third chapter. All our activities, whatever you may feel that we are doing, actually it is not that we are doing. We are doing it, but not on our own way, not under our own like or dislike. It is the material energy through her three modes which is influencing us to do certain activities, to behave in certain activity, to react in a certain way. A person in the goodness may behave in a certain way, a person of passion may behave in a certain way. An ignorant man, being influenced by the mode of ignorance, behaves in a certain way. And based on the influence, his action is decided. And based on that action, he gets the reaction, which is followed by another action, and which is followed by reaction. So this vicious cycle goes on without the understanding that what is making me perform this activity, what is making me enjoy or what is making me suffer. And as long as we are in the cycle of this vicious cycle of action and reaction, we are in the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death in this material world. And Krishna, when he is giving ultimate knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of that knowledge is not to keep us here in this material world. The purpose is to do certain things, to do certain activities, which will ultimately get you out of this cycle, get you out of this reaction, of this chain reaction of action and reaction. That is what the purpose which Krishna wants. And that is why he is telling, come out of it. Traigunya Vishaya Veda. But his whole Vedic knowledge is dealing with this three subject, the subject matter of the three modes of material nature. Mode of goodness, passion and ignorance, and how it is influencing. But Arjuna, I request you, come out of it. Don't act as a person who is influenced by these three modes of material nature. Why? Because if you act according to these reactions, what will happen? There will be happiness, there will be lamentation. So these dualities are going to come. And when the dualities come in life, then the whole life changes, the whole perspective of doing another thing changes. And therefore he advises that become free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety and be established in self. So Krishna is trying to raise Arjuna. And all of us, our whole life goes in this thing only, in this cycle, in trying to solve or trying to overcome these dualities. Whenever some good thing comes out, we become so happy. When something goes wrong, we lament. And then we try to overcome those lamentations by trying to do something else by which we can convert that lamentation into happiness. But again, we may not guarantee. Just like if a person is gambling, first time he may gamble, he may win. He becomes so happy. That motivates him to, you know, involve in more gambling. But can he assure, can he guarantee that next time he's going to win? No. The whole gambling scene is arranged in such a way that first time you always gain. But then you lose. And you may even gain also. Like Maharaja was telling very beautifully. There is one in the west, some place is there. There you keep on winning first. Why? Because the more you win, the more greedy you become. And the more greedy you become, you're not going to leave that place. And more you have money, you're going to invest in that gambling match. So our condition is like that. We are like entering the gambling of life, doing so many activities, thinking that now I'm going to gain something. Now again, let me involve in some more activities. Let me get more pleasure, more happiness. And then what comes? It is not always the way what we want. Initially, there may be some happiness, which is followed by miseries. But then we think, no, let me again change it. Let me again play the game of life. And then the happiness may come. And whole life goes on in this game. Never do we realize that what is the purpose? What is the purpose of life? And that is what Veda is teaching. And that is what Krishna is teaching here. That overcome all these dualities. Don't be in this. Don't get encaged in that. Be focused on the self. And when Krishna is speaking of self, again he is coming on the same point. What he explained till now. Because in the 20 shlokas, where he is explaining the nature of the soul, that you are not this body. The people, those who are fighting or standing opposite to you, they are also not this body. So ultimately Krishna wants that come out of these external dualities. Come out of these external designations and go within. Go deep into yourself and understand who you are. And that is, he's telling that be established in self. And when a person is established in self, why Krishna wants Arjuna to be established in self? Because Arjuna was influenced by this happiness and lamentation problem. He was thinking that if I kill, then I will become miserable. And if I don't fight, then I will become happy. Even though I may beg outside, but still that will give me happiness. But externally, being materially happy or miserable is not going to solve the problem of life. And they are all temporary. Now you are happy, but tomorrow what is your condition? Who knows? But a person, irrespective of what his externals are, what the external conditions are, irrespective of the dualities which he is facing, if he is focused within, if his whole attention, his goal of life is traveling towards knowing who is, then the duality is not going to affect him. Because these dualities, he knows the temporary nature of this body. So when the body itself is temporary, then what to speak of the external conditions related to this body? When the body is temporary, the external conditions which are related to this body, they are also going to be temporary. So he understands the nature of these problems, the dualities of this world, and rather than being affected by it, some to be happy or to become morose, he focuses more within himself. Because ultimately, when one person goes deep inside, the more deeper he goes, the more he realizes, he understands the superficiality, the temporary nature of this material world. As long as the person is on the superficial platform, these dualities also appear very heavy. But if the more we go away, just like if we're seeing a mountain very close, you may see the details of the mountain and you may see, wow, it is so big. But if you see, as you go far away, all those roughness, those caves, those trees, those bushes, those water are not seen. So similarly, when we are going deeper inside, away from the dualities, then those dualities don't affect us. From a far away, mountain looks very small. Similarly, those dualities, those miseries, those problems, when you go deeper inside, far away from the superficiality, the problems practically get lost. And then we are able to focus within ourselves and understand the actual goal of life, understand our actual self. That is what Krishna is trying to convince. And he's telling, become nirdvandva, free from duality and established in self, nitya sattvastu. And that is what we are supposed to practice. It's very easy to speak, but very difficult. To sit and speak, or to even for us to sit and hear, it sounds very good. But actually when the problem comes, that time this philosophy, to apply this philosophy is a big difficult thing. Very difficult. And you may sit here, and you may sit, just do what Krishna wants. Very nice to speak and very nice to hear. And when we hear this, we feel, oh. And when we speak also, we feel we are so surrendered. But when Krishna puts something which is absolutely against your desire, which you don't want it, and which you never thought, which is going to completely crush your ideas, your thoughts, your plans, then to think that, no, let me do what Krishna wants, is very difficult. But ultimately, we have to know that the ultimate purpose, the goal, is to do what Krishna wants, not just what we want. Otherwise, our activities is just sense gratification. I'm doing it because I like it. I'm not doing it because I don't like it. Raga and Dvesha. In the third chapter, Krishna speaks that all activities, the basis of all activities is Raga and Dvesha. I do activities which I'm attached to, which I like, and I don't do some activities which I don't like, which I, Dvesha, which I not completely according to my liking. But that is not going to solve the problem. The problem will be solved only when we do things, whether we like it or whether we don't like it. But if Krishna wants it, we have to do. So Krishna is wanting here, Arjuna, that become free from these dualities. Become free from these dualities and just do what I want you to do. And that is the whole purpose in which the Vedas give. The whole purpose of Vedas is speaking about this thing only. Even though it may appear, now Prabhupada speaks, that in Vedas, you see, 90 to 99% you can say, what does Veda deal? All karmakanda activities and what we were doing at home or before becoming devotees, coming into Krishna consciousness, and even after becoming devotees also, even though we are advancing, but still this ghost of karmakanda to perform these activities does not go away. If somebody tells you so many problems are coming in your life, and even you are devotee, you should go to some astrologer, you should show your patrika, kundali, and see what your nakshatras and grahas are telling. And we immediately go, put rings also, do all these pujas, yantras, tantras and mudras, all that thing we do. I can speak about myself also. Because when I became a devotee, then some problem, when I was joining ashram, my family members, they went to some astrologer and they said, no, he has this problem, he should do this puja, put this ring. And initially I denied. No, I am a devotee of Krishna. When one surrenders to Krishna, one does not have to do anything. But then the trap of material energy is so powerful. I was convinced with their words. And I also did the same thing. Every morning I used to say, get up early in the morning,
take these stones, put under your pillow, those diamonds and the different stones, put under your pillow, and then morning next day when you come to me, you tell me what dreams you saw, and then you get a ring made out of it, then you pray this mantra, chant these things. So all these things comes. So that is karmakanda section. Vedas deal with that. And even though they will tell you, like this astrologer, he told me that I don't want to do this. Well, you know, do this. Well, why? Well, if you do this, you can become properly nice devotee. This will help you in advancing in Krishna consciousness. He said. So it is so attractive. Why? It will help me to become nice devotee. Come on, let me do it. But that is a trap. And devotees also fall in that trap. So Vedas deal with that. Karma Kanda. And all our activities at our homes, how many times have we performed some puja or some ritual without taking into consideration that I don't want anything. I'm just doing this puja because I like it, I love it. Every puja is followed by a big list of desires. And even that pandit who comes, he will tell you that now we have done this puja, there are the so and so benefits. And one famous puja which is there. That whole story, if you hear that puja, it is just that pandit narrating that how this person did this puja, he got this benefit, and how they forgot to do this puja, and how they suffered. And after suffering, they did this puja, and again they got material happiness. Entire story if you hear properly. And people also feel, wow, let me also do this puja so that I can also benefit from all these things, whatever these people in that story got it. So that is the Vedas. Vedas deal with that. So person may say, people may say, if Vedas is coming from Krishna, Vedas sharver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. If Krishna is a compiler of Vedas, then why Krishna has to give all these things? Karma Kanda. Why did not he directly give pure devotional service? Why to waste time? Why to misguide people? One may ask this question. But the thing is, not everyone will be eligible or in a condition to follow the principles of pure devotional service. So the whole purpose of Vedas is, those who are pure devotees, those who are completely surrendered, you just tell them, chant Hare Krishna. First time they come to temple, you give them beads. They say, chanting karo. And they will do it without any asking any question. But there will be some category of people, they will ask 100 questions, and even you expertly giving those 100 answers to those 100 questions, he will not chant. So always in the society, in this material world, there will be different categories of people. It is not that people are going to accept whatever you say. Even if you give best of the things, best of the philosophy, Krishna consciousness, they are not going to accept it. So these Vedas, this Karmakanda section, is designed in such a way that ultimately you perform that activity. But if Krishna says that Vedas se sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham, from all the Vedas, ultimately, if a person does not come to the conclusion, and what is that conclusion? Conclusion is to know Krishna as the ultimate. That is the perfection of the Vedas. So initially a person may do all these different rituals, but through that rituals, one has to end his destination of the rituals to Krishna. That is the whole purpose. And then people, according to the different temperaments, different natures, different likings, different understanding, different philosophy, these are the yoga ladder, these are ladder which is there, which helps the people in different levels to come to that ultimate stage, ultimate platform of Krishna consciousness. That is the whole purpose of Vedas. But here, Krishna does not want Arjuna to go all these things. He wants to give him direct on escalator. You know, get up fast. No need to follow all these principles. And then, therefore, in the next shloka, he says that all purposes by a small well can at once be served by a great reservoir of water. Similarly, all the purposes of the Vedas can be served to one who knows the purpose behind them. This is what Krishna explains. That Vedas are not just to deviate you, to get you here and there, to give you material benefits. Vedas will give you material benefit. But ultimately from that material benefit, from that Vedic knowledge, you have to understand, you have to come to the understanding that why these Vedas are giving this all these benedictions, why these Vedas are designed like that, who has designed it. We have to come to the conclusion. And that is Krishna consciousness. If one does not come, then his whole attempt is a useless attempt. And therefore, if one knows the purpose behind it, once the purpose is clear, then there is no difficulties. Then the whole channel becomes very easy. Like
many of the people, like I can speak of myself also. Initially, it was not that I was an atheist and then or some devotee met and he brought me temple. I was doing many rituals. From Monday to Sunday, this demigod, that demigod, go to this temple, go to that temple, this fasting, that fasting. So many things were there. But some or the other, devotees were merciful, the Lord is merciful, that ultimate track led to Krishna consciousness. But with everyone, it is not possible like that. Many people get stuck over there. Their whole life goes in worshipping that demigod only and worshipping that ritual. Why? Because the purpose is not known. Purpose is not known. And then Prabhupada speaks in that when the relationship of the living entities with Krishna, the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. That Vedic knowledge should help one to revive one's dormant Krishna consciousness. Then we can say that person has achieved perfection. Otherwise, he can go on for life after life, engaging in this all the rich karmakandi rituals, performing these pujas and that pujas, and he may not achieve the ultimate conclusion. He will simply get bewildered. But somehow or the other, if he comes in the association of devotees, and by their grace, if he can understand the ultimate goal, and he takes up this process, as Prabhupada mentions, quoting Srimad Bhagavatam, that a person who has chanted the holy name of Krishna, he is much better than any of the big brahmanas. It is considered that he has performed all kinds of penances, sacrifices, according to Vedic rituals, studied Vedic literature for many, many times after taking bath in all the holy places. This is the benefit, or this is what one has to understand if one is chanting Hare Krishna. That he has already done it. After becoming devotee, one does not have to do all these things. He has already done that. And as a conclusion, as a result of that, he has come to the stage of chanting Hare Krishna. And chanting of Hare Krishna is the solution to everything. And this whole episode, this verse, is beautifully narrated in the last chapter of Madhya Leela, where there is one nice personality, best of the devotees, who is by the name Subuddhi Rai. Now Subuddhi Rai, he was from Bengal. He was a very big landlord. And he had one small Muslim boy working for him. His name was Sayyid Hussain Khan. And this small boy was engaged in his service, this Sayyid Hussain. And once, Subuddhi Rai wanted a well to be dug. And he engaged this boy in digging the well. But he did some mistake, some blunder. And Subuddhi Rai was taking care of him so nicely, like a father, feeding him, providing all the necessities of his life. And just like a father, sometimes he may speak nicely, sometimes when he's angry, he may hurt you, he may chastise you. So Subuddhi Rai just hit him with a stick, with a whip, sorry. And that whip created a mark on his body. And Subuddhi Rai also never felt bad because he always thought, Sayyid Hussain Khan never felt bad. He thought Subuddhi Rai is like my father. And father, if he loves me, then he also has the right to chastise me. He never took it very seriously. But later on, this Sayyid Hussain Khan turned out to become a big king in the Mughal rule. And when he got married, his wife, she saw that beautiful mark on his body, on the back. And that mark was so attractive to her. She felt, how did you get this mark? What is the source of this mark? Is it a birthmark or something externally caused? So then he narrated, I was a small boy, I was working like this with one great, nice person called Subuddhi Rai. He was a big landlord. He was like a father to me, very affectionate to me. But she could not tolerate that mark. Because she wanted her husband's body to be very smooth and nice, no marks. And she became so angry. She said, you should punish. Now that you are a king, you have full rights. Punish this person. Kill him. So Sayyid Hussain Khan said, how can I kill him? He's like my father. He has taken care of me. He has nourished me. He has brought me, raised me up. How can I kill him? He says, no. Do anything, but kill him. I don't want to see him because he has caused harm to your body. Kill him. So he says, no, I can't do this. Then get him, come down from his caste. And in those days, it was so orthodox The Hindu community was so orthodox that if anyone, even when water which is taken from the pitcher means a pot which has been drank by a Muslim, if such water is sprinkled on any Hindu, the whole Hindu community would reject such a person because now he has become contaminated, he has become a Muslim. So such a thing was worse than death. So this wife suggests Sayyid Hussain Khan that you can do like this. So Sayyid Hussain Khan says, if I do like that, it will be worse than death, he will die. Well, that is what I want. So due to the pressure of the wife, he's not able to do, does not know what to do now. But wife is wife. How can he reject her proposal? So somewhere there he sprinkles water on Subuddhi Rai. And the whole Hindu community rejects him as Muslim. Now get out from this community. And then Subuddhi Rai goes to Varanasi. From Bengal he goes to Varanasi because Varanasi was a place where so many Brahmanas, learned scholars used to be there. For his atonement, to how to get relieved of this sinful reaction. So he goes and inquires some Brahmanas, please tell me some ways of atonement. Like when we were small, somebody used to say, if you kill a cat, then you have to go to Ganga or go to Varanasi and make a golden cat and leave it. Something like that. And then Subuddhi Rai went there to get some solution. And he inquired from some Brahmanas, please tell me some way to get out of this sinful reaction. How can I get my caste back? So some Brahman suggested, there is one nice solution. If you do it, you'll become free from all contamination. Well, what is that? Well, drink hot ghee. Boil ghee and drink it. That will free you from all, because ghee comes from cow, and cow is all purifying, so ghee will also purify you completely. But what will happen to a person if he drinks hot ghee? Na rahega baas na bajega basuri. If he's not alive, from where he will be, what a matter of or question of getting purified. So he thinks, how can I do? Means nobody will be ready to drink hot ghee. So he says, let me find out some other solution. Well, this is too heavy for me, difficult for me. So some other Brahman says, no, actually your problem is not serious. You can do some other rituals. So like that he goes on to different Brahmanas and everyone gives different solution. So this is what Karmakanda is. So if you are doing some Karmakanda rituals, it is not that all the Brahmanas will give you the same way, same solution. You go to different people will give different solutions. Ultimately ending in a big confusion and you are thinking what whether to do or not. So Subuddhi Rai was in such a situation, not knowing what to do. But somehow or the other, his great fortune was there that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi at that time. So he approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking for solution that, my dear Lord, I have travelled everywhere, I have approached so many people, but none of them have given me some practical conclusions or practical solutions. So now you please tell me something by which I can become free from all the contaminations. I can become free from all this sin which has been put upon me. I can get back my caste. He puts his request. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not give any such solutions. What does he say? He says, you simply chant Hare Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna, and this process of chanting Hare Krishna will purify you, and when you ultimately achieve perfection in chanting Hare Krishna, you'll get completely purified of that sin. That is the solution which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives. And go to Mathura. Go to Vrindavan, he says. Go to Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna. You'll become free from all contamination. So simple compared to all the solutions. Chanting Hare Krishna appears so simple. But then Mahaprabhu says, you begin, your process of purification will begin when you are chanting Hare Krishna. But ultimately when you reach the stage of offenselessly chanting Hare Krishna, you become completely purified. So our condition is like that. We have begun chanting Hare Krishna, even though now it is full of offenses. But gradually, as we see that with the beginning of chanting Hare Krishna, gradually purification is also taking place. And one day, just being in the association of devotees, if we can chant offenselessly, come to that stage, then gradually we can also become completely purified. And that happened with Subuddhi Rai. Subuddhi Rai was in Vrindavan chanting Hare Krishna. And to such an extent, his chanting went on that he perfected his life. And what is the sign of that perfection? That he had completely given up all his family attachments, gave up his business and everything, and just living as a person in the renounced order in Vrindavan. And when you get purified, what is the sign of purification? You always want to serve other devotees and to serve Krishna. And he, even though in the renounced order, he was living like a Babaji, Sadhu, every day he used to go to collect wood in the jungle of Vrindavan. Whatever dry wood which fall down from the trees, he used to collect it, make a bundle, and sell each bundle for 5 paisa. And like that he used to collect money. Out of that 5 paisa, he used to use only 1 paisa for his survival, purchasing some chickpeas. And remaining 4 paisa he used to store with some merchant. He used to store with the merchant. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that as a person in the renounced order is not supposed to collect money or store money. But why was Subhadra Rai doing it? Subhadra Rai was doing it so that the devotees from Bengal, when they come to Vrindavan, to the holy dham, he can utilize that money to serve them. And how we are serving those devotees? Because Bengalis, they always want to eat rice. They like rice. And in Vrindavan, you don't get rice. You get rotis. So when they used to eat that rice, many of them used to get stomach upset. So Subhadra Rai used to purchase fine rice and yogurt, dahi for them, and serve these people. He used to purchase with that money nice oils. Because these people used to walk all the way from Bengal to Vrindavan. He used to use that money to purchase oils to massage their feet. And in that way, by performing this service, he attained the ultimate perfection of his life. And that is what is the power of holy name. Rather than trying to intermingle and be lost in all these karmakanda activities, what was the essence? Essence was, he simply took up chanting Hare Krishna. And that chanting Hare Krishna gave him or raised him to such a platform of pure devotional service that ultimately going back home back to Godhead. So chanting of Hare Krishna is such a benediction for us. Rather than getting lost in this jungle of Vedas, of Karmakand, we simply chant Hare Krishna. And that was the condition of Vedavyas also. Now Vedavyas was the compiler of all the Vedas. He compiled everything. But still he was not happy. He had everything. What a person desires. Vedic knowledge gives everything. This knowledge, that knowledge, nothing was left for him that he could not achieve through that knowledge. But what was the ultimate result? He was morose. He was not satisfied. And then Narada Muni had to come, intervene, seeing his disciple in such a state. And then when asked by Narada Muni that why are you in a depressed mood? Why are you in such a depression? Why are you lamenting for? So what was the answer? The answer is that I have compiled all knowledge, I have ideas of everything, I have full knowledge of everything, but still I am not happy. Please guide me, please give me some solution out of it. And what was the solution? Narada Muni simply told that whatever you have given till now is now you have to give something which is dealing with pure devotional service. Write something which establishes or gets a person closer towards Krishna, gets him back to Godhead. Not to completely keep him in the cycle of birth and death, completely entangle in this material world. And Vyas did it. Vedavyas did it by compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate conclusion of the entire Vedic knowledge. And speaking, and through Srimad Bhagavatam, what has he given? He has given pure devotional service. Through Bhagavatam, if one can just follow it, just apply it, that pure devotional service can be easily available to that person, and the basis of that pure devotional service, one can go back home, back to Godhead. That is the purpose of the Vedas. Purpose of the Vedas is not just to get lost somewhere. Purpose of the Vedas is to come to the conclusion that Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, to understand that I am part and parcel of Krishna, Mama Yomsha Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, and not getting influenced by these three modes. Because if one engages in the service of Krishna, if one performs devotional service, even though it may appear that he is doing some activities which are like other persons doing it who are influenced by the modes of nature, still he is not bound to any reaction. Just like that example of a cat carrying a kitten in his mouth and a cat having a rat in his mouth. Externally, if you see, it appears same. Both of them are in the grip of the mouth, in the teeth of that cat. But the kitten, what does it feel? Completely safe, completely satisfied, because he's in the loving care of his mother. But the rat in the same place feels or sees his death. So devotees who are under shelter of Krishna, who are performing devotional service, they are like the kitten in the mouth of a cat. and those who are just intermingling, who are just moving around in trying to engage in all the karmakandi activities, getting some material benedictions, they are like the rats in the mouth of a cat. Ultimately, what is the result? You'll be destroyed. You'll be killed. But for a kitten, is always safe. Why? Because it's in the loving care of mother. And that is the purpose of the Vedas. To ultimately get us to a conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, I am part and parcel of Krishna, and being his part and parcel of Krishna, I am my whole purpose, my whole duty is to serve him and engage in his loving devotional service. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.